And joining us on Perspectives today is Julie Lithcott-Hames. Julie is the author of the recent book, How to Raise an Adult, Break Free of the Overparenting Trap and Prepare Your Kid for Success. Julie is also served as Dean of Freshman and Undergraduate Advising at Stanford University, where she received the Dinkelspiel Award for her contributions to the undergraduate experience. She has spoken and written widely on the phenomenon of helicopter parenting, which we're going to get into in just a minute. And her work has appeared on TED Talks, Forbes, the Chicago Tribune. Julie holds a BA from Stanford University and a JD from Howard Law School and is pursuing an MFA in writing from California College of the Arts. In addition to nonfiction, she writes creative nonfiction, poetry, and plays. She currently resides in Palo Alto, California, with her husband and their two teenagers and her mother. So, Julie, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. And this is a topic that I guess, you know, everybody can relate to, whether you're a parent or not, because sometimes if the other people are not being good parents, they affect the way you deal with them or vice versa. So, first of all, you've had a lot of experience. You've worked with a lot of young people, especially when you were the dean of the college. So tell me a little bit about how this book came about.
Louis, first of all, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here with you.
You're welcome.
You know, I was a freshman dean. My job was to pay attention to and care about the transition of our newest undergraduates into the university community. And over the course of my years in that role, each year I saw more and more parents who expected to play a role in the day-to-day lives of their college-age sons and daughters, by which I mean looking into options and opportunities, handling disappointment or disputes, really everything from possibilities to problems. The parents expected that they had a role to play, which was odd because it wasn't that long ago that I was in college and I thought, wait a minute, when I was 20 or 22 or 18 even, I could do these things for myself. My parents were a world away, and I didn't need to rely on them. What has changed, and is this going to be problematic for these young adults I care about and really for us at a societal level that's going to want these young adults, the millennials, to really have what it takes to lead our institutions, our corporations, our schools, our nonprofits, our government, and our families. So I wrote this book out of compassion for them, but also with a sense of urgency for our nation. You know, we need to know that our young adults have what it takes, not just that they have great GPAs and impressive resumes, but that they have a skill set, a mindset, a self-reliance, an ability to cope with difficulty and disappointment, and an ability to figure things out, and not just figure things out by asking mom or dad to figure it out for them.
Julie, one of the things that we do as parents, and you know very well, that sometimes it's either because of frustration, you know, we instead of taking time to explain it to them, we'll just do it ourselves. Or the other thing is that, as you mentioned in your book, there once was a time when mom would say, go out and play, and I'll see you when dinner, or I'll call you for dinner. Or and we came in, when it got dark, and we were sweaty, dirt all over us, smudged. But we had fun. And now, I don't think a mom would say that to their kids.
Yeah, times really have changed. But the fact that kids need to be raised to be competent, confident adults hasn't. So the point is, I guess, within today's context, you know, the way that the world is today with technology, increased awareness of things, how do we still make sure that we're giving our kids the opportunities to develop the skills they need? Here's an example. Yeah, it's frustrating to watch them struggle through something that we could do more quickly. But if we're constantly doing what they can do for themselves, then we're robbing them of the chance to grow and learn. And then we're mad at them for not having a skill, but it's really our fault for doing too much for too long for them. In terms of the go out and play, you know, when a millennial hears you say that, they think you're describing, you know, fiction. But you and I remember that that was really our childhood. Kids do need to play. We've gotten so obsessed with grades and activities and cultivating the perfect childhood. I call it the checklist of childhood we make kids lead in order to get into the right school in our mind. And what that means is with all the activities and all the homework and all that we do to try to ensure they get better grades than they're already getting, they don't get a chance to play freely. And play according to the gurus of play, play is supposed to be the work that children do. It's how they learn, it's how they grow, it's how they use their imagination and develop that imagination and creativity and so on. You know, the folks at NASA and Jet Propulsion and Boeing, I've heard a TED Talk that says they don't just want to hire, they don't hire the top people from the top engineering schools. They want people who tinkered as a child, who played freely and made something out of nothing, found a box of stuff and were curious enough and motivated enough to see if they could fashion a new thing out of it. That's the engineer's mind, you know, not the 4.0 GPA. That's less important than the fact that they were motivated to tinker as a child. So that's just one example of how not letting them play freely can really undercut their abilities to thrive and succeed out in the workplace.
Julie, another thing that we see is that sometimes a parent will not allow the child to play because they already have their schedule organized. The child gets out of school, they go to dance, piano, intramurals, then volleyball, then something at church, then doing something else. And before you know it, you know, this child is so exhausted. But in many cases, I think it's us as parents who want them to have, quote, what we never had or not struggle like we did. But as you mentioned in your book, we used to teach people, children, about, you know, getting ready for life. But instead, now we're protecting them from life.
Exactly right. Of course, we want them to have what we didn't have, and we don't want them to struggle. But here's what we're overlooking. So we fill their lives with all of this enrichment and activities, maybe stuff we didn't have. We're not appreciating that every human, kids and adults alike, need some downtime. We need some time to just be and think and chill and relax. It's not being lazy to inject a little bit of that time back into a kid's life. It's actually giving them a chance to grow through the thinking and that happens when we're alone and we can just be alone with our own thoughts. It's really important for their development, too, is the point. And often, there's an interesting irony. Parents who didn't come from much, who didn't have much as kids, when they are more successful, often they'll say, well, I struggled, I don't want my kid to have to. Those parents are forgetting that they learned a whole lot from that struggle that they went through. And yeah, some of it was unpleasant and worse, but how can we, even amid affluence, how can we in our upper middle class or middle class existence, how can we still provide opportunities for our kids to do hard work and, you know, roll up their sleeves and pitch in and help and not just expect to be waited on or that life will just magically happen for them.
And that's one of the things that you also deal with in your book. We are talking with Julie Lithcott-Hames. She is the author of the book, How to Raise an Adult. Break free of the overparenting trap and prepare your kid for success. One of the things that you write in there about is also the fact that the child, you know, we used to be able to tell them, get away, don't burn yourself, you're going to burn yourself. But when they get to a certain age, we can't tell them that anymore, or we're not supposed to, and they have to burn themselves, I'm using that as a metaphor, just to learn, get that experience.
Absolutely. You know, our life is a challenge. Life is hard. We do our kids no favors by pretending as if somehow we'll always be there to smooth the rough spots or to handle things for them. You know, life will expect them to be tougher than today's childhood tends to prepare kids for. So, look, there's this Massachusetts superintendent who says young adults today are like veal who run home in the face of the world's slaughter. And my feeling is if the world is going to potentially try to slaughter my child, I don't want my kid to be like veal. I want them to be strong, competent, confident warriors out there who can fight for themselves and not expect that all they have to do is text me and somehow I'm going to solve it for them.
I'm glad you mentioned texting because earlier you mentioned technology also. And I guess the reason I bring that up is because at what age or should a child have a phone?
Oh, it's a good question. I think a lot of it has to do with your kid, their maturity level, your family dynamic, and the community you live in. You know, I didn't want my kid to be the outlier that didn't have a phone when everyone else did. But I do admire those parents who do hold back and say, I don't care if everyone else does, you don't need one. I think the first need is around transportation, safety and comfort. If we're sending our kids out on their own 2 feet or on a bicycle to get to school, which is great, you know, often we're concerned, did they make it to school okay? You know, or what, forget if they made it to school okay, that shouldn't be our overriding concern. But if our kid needs us along the way, you know, the bike gets a flat tire or something comes up, they ought to, it's great if they can text us and say, I've had a little struggle here, mom or dad, what do I do? And again, we should give them advice, but not necessarily swoop in and do it for them. You know, I think cell phones have become a way of life. It's really a question of how frequently is our kid checking in with us or we with them. And when our kid says, hey, I left my homework, or hey, you know, I need to do this or that, or this and that has happened, we can pause. We don't have to be there in the immediate time frame and respond and solve it. We're trying to teach our kid to think through their own challenges and scenarios for themselves and not depend on us to always be the one who's solving it, figuring it out. So it's the frequency of our reaction that we got to watch, and we also have to watch our own need to sort of know where they are at every minute. We've got the sense that something terrible could happen at any moment, and we want to hear from our kids every hour, look, you and I didn't grow up that way. We had more freedom, we had more independence, and that's good for a developing human, not to be kind of constantly hovered over by parents who just are over them like a gray cloud all the time.
We're visiting with Julie Lithcott-Hames. She is the author of the book, How to Raise an Adult. And in the few minutes we have left, Julie, if you wouldn't mind, give us a sample set of life skills that kids must acquire. If you wouldn't mind going over those quickly.
Sure. Well, if you think about it, an 18-year-old needs to know how to talk to strangers, not just be one of those people who's afraid of strangers. An 18-year-old needs to know how to make and manage money. They need to know how to set their own deadlines and be responsible for their own work. They need to be able to handle interpersonal conflict. If you think about it, in childhood today, we're often, you know, preventing them from learning all of those skills because we're doing so many of those things for them. So just imagine your delightful child one day, 18, 20, 22, 25, you know, do you want them to just be lost and bewildered, always needing you to tell them what to do and how to do it? Or do you want to have raised them such that they have skills and habits and a mindset that says, I can do this, and if I can't, I can figure it out myself? That's what we want. That's what our nation needs. These folks are going to be leading our country before long. Boy, do we want to know that they've really got what it takes.
As we wrap up, Julie, do you have a web page that people can go to, or perhaps even a guide that they can kind of go along with the chapters and figure out, you know, while I'm doing this, I probably need to work on this?
Well, I do have a web page. It's howtoraiseanadult.com. And I don't have a step-by-step guide other than my 305-page book, which has a lot of checklists in it.
It does.
I think is very useful. But there is a discussion guide for the book on the website. And I'm also on Twitter. My handle is @RaiseAnAdult. I'm on Facebook, How to Raise an Adult. So you can find me on social media, find me on the web. The book's available online and in many, many local bookstores. So I do hope your listeners will check it out. And let me say, you'll find it's a compassionate approach. I'm not some critical, judgmental person making fun of people. I myself have had overparenting tendencies, and I talk about them in my book. So I'm coming from the vantage point of a former dean who saw other people's grown kids, and I'm running back here to the rest of us to say, wait a minute, we're with the best of intentions, we're overhelping, and it's causing harm. So I'm really in it with my readers, not judgmental.
Well, Julie, thank you very much for taking the time to share with us a little bit about your book. Again, the book is How to Raise an Adult, and howtoraiseanadult.com is the website that you would go to find out more information about what Julie has to say in her book. Julie, thank you very much for being with us.
Julie, thank you.
We've been visiting with Julie Lithcott-Hames. She is the author of the book, How to Raise an Adult. Perspectives will continue right after this.